All right, brethren, Psalm 104. Thank you, Brother Art. You know the theme of this psalm is the greatness of our God. He created the earth and all things. He waters this earth, sends the waters, and provides and grows every living creature so that the glory belongs only to the Lord. And so we come to verse 16. It says, "The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted." This is a reoccurring theme throughout the scriptures where the Lord uses the analogy of trees to speak of his people. And I don't know if you've ever been out west and seen those mighty redwoods. That's what the cedars of Lebanon were like. One of those trees has a plaque saying it's 320 feet tall. If you stand in front of those trees, the circumference and the width are just amazing. You can stretch your arms out, and there's still a couple of feet on each side of you to get to the edge of those trees. I was at one place, and I saw a hollowed-out redwood. If you've ever been there, you've seen it. But there's a hollowed-out redwood where it's a camp house that will lodge 7 or 8 people and sleep and eat, and there's multiple rooms in it, and this is inside of a tree, hollowed out. That's the image of these cedars of Lebanon. They were mighty cedars of Lebanon. And Scripture declares God's saints are trees of the Lord, the planting of the Lord. He said in Psalm 92:12, "The righteous shall flourish. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." He shall grow like a, no doubt he shall, and he shall grow, and it shall be like a cedar in Lebanon. So he's comparing us to these trees. And there's three ways I want to look at this. First of all, we're the planting of the Lord. That's what the text says. Secondly, that means all provision is of the Lord, just like it is for the cedars of Lebanon. And then thirdly, that means all fullness is of the Lord. Now, let's start with the planting of the Lord. He says here in verse 16, "The trees of the Lord, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted." And the purpose here in this whole psalm, like we've been seeing repeatedly, is when you think of the cedars of Lebanon, they were planted in the wilderness, and they were on mountain ranges, and they were away from any man whatsoever. They were just out in the wilderness. And they weren't planted by man. They weren't cared for by man. They were planted by God. We know in the beginning, when God made the world, this Genesis 1:11 says, "And God said," now this is how God creates everything, me and you included. God said. He does it by his word. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. It was so. That's where these trees of Lebanon came into being. That's how they were planted. The Lord planted them. And he made seed to be within them, so as the seed fell, more were planted. The trees of Lebanon. And that's so with the Lord's spiritual creation. With you and I, if we're created anew, it's all of the Lord. It's of his planting. He did the work. A spiritually dead sinner, ruined, who is a God-hater by nature, loves the God of our imagination, but not the true and living God. We don't make ourselves to be planted. We don't make ourselves to be created anew. We don't convert ourselves. Not by our will. You can't just willingly decide to believe God. It's not by the preacher's will, using man's wisdom and trying to, you know, take the edge off the gospel and persuade men to believe. That's not how it's accomplished. And it's not even by the sinner being blood relations to somebody who is one of God's children, who he has planted. John said in John 1 that they were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not of blood relations. It's not of a man's will, the will of his flesh, and it's not the will of a man, but of the Lord. but of the Lord. We're born again. We're planted by the Lord. By the Lord blessing His Word. By Him creating a new heart, filling us with sap, as He speaks of here. With the Spirit of God, with Christ being formed in you, so that He creates faith and love and all the fruit of the Spirit. He said in Isaiah 60 and verse 21, "Thy people shall be all righteous. Thy people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." That's what God says. Now, when you read God's people are all righteous, that means all His people are righteous, and each one individually is all entirely, completely righteous. That's all in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we must be born again. This is why we must be planted. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, the Son of God, Christ Jesus, and by what He accomplished for His people at the cross, He made His people all righteous. Now, the next time we're down and the next time we're troubled, you just stop and think about the all-knowing God, the all-seeing God, God who declares things as they are, saying of His people that they are all righteous. And think about what that means between holy God, to be all righteous. That'll lift you up. That'll encourage you. All righteous. That means no spot. That means no sin. That means no record of sin. That means past, present, or future. All righteous. God doesn't call something righteous unless it is righteous, unless it is righteous as God is righteous. That's what He says of His people. By the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God uses men to preach the gospel. He does use men to preach the gospel. Not because He has to, because He chooses to. He chose to do that. Because it really shows more of the power and wisdom of God to use earthen vessels than it would be for Him to say without them, if you think about it. Because He can take one God-hating rebel, fill him with the Spirit of God, give him the Word, and make him faithful to preach the truth of God, and bless others just like him with that Word. That's amazing that God will do that. And the picture here is you have these trees of Lebanon on these mountain ranges. No man's feeding them. Who's feeding them? Who's planting them and growing them? God is. Now, He does use means, but it's God that does the planting. It's God that blesses the Word and makes His people to hear that Word. Peter said, "We're born of the incorruptible seed, which by the gospel is preached unto you." Now, faithful men that God sends are going to use we're not using some hybrid seed. We're not using some generic man-made seed. We're using the pure seed. The word of the gospel is what we're using. That's what God's going to plant His trees with. The incorruptible seed which by the gospel is preached unto you. How is it that men are going to be brought to preach this? It's going to be by God's sovereign decree, by His sovereign grace, by Him choosing whom He will, and saving them by Christ's righteousness, and sending them forth to preach the message of God's sovereign purpose, His sovereign will in saving His people. We got to be made to know that it all began with God. This is illustrated in the Scriptures. You know how the house of the Lord was built? You know how Solomon built the temple of the Lord? Solomon made a decree. He made a covenant. And he made in his purpose, he decreed. And he sent Hiram, King Hiram, who cut down cedars of Lebanon and floated those cedars of Lebanon down the river to Jerusalem. And he built the temple. You think of the picture in that. God our Father decreed from eternity that He would build His house with the cedars of Lebanon, His chosen people. And He sent forth Christ our King, who comes forth, and by His work of grace, He cuts us down first. He cuts us down so that we're not mighty in ourselves and think we stand in ourselves. He cuts us down, but He makes us to be born again by the seed of this Word, and plants us and makes us to grow up into His house, His temple, just like the Lord did that with Solomon and King Hiram. using the cedars of Lebanon. And the seed that God blesses to plant his cedars is the gospel of Christ and him crucified. It's the gospel of Christ and him crucified. We sing this. We sing just saying, wanting to be nearer to the cross and nearer to the Lord. And this is the message. This is the message. And this is how it's going to come to pass. The Lord drawing us and the Lord blessing us by the seed, by this incorruptible word of Christ and him crucified. I want you to look at Ezekiel 17. We've looked at this before, but I want you to see this. And these are all just things that we see in nature. You probably use these methods yourself when you plant, if you like to garden. You know, Christ is, he is himself the preeminent cedar of Lebanon. He is. And you know, if you're going to plant a tree from a tree, you cut the apical bud that grows, the tree grows up from that. It's the very top part of the tree. You cut that and you make a slip and you plant it and it grows. And that's what our Lord's talking about right here. The highest cedar was the house of David. The house of David. And look at what the Lord says here. Ezekiel 17, verse 22. This is the gospel of Christ and him crucified. He says, thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar. That's the house of David. That's the house of David. He says, and I will set it. You're going to plant this branch like you do a slip. When you take a slip, you know, from a cutting from another branch and you plant it. I'm going to take this. I'm going to set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it. And it shall bring forth boughs and boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. That is, every elect child who Christ redeemed out of every kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell, in Christ the vine, in Christ the preeminent cedar. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree. Israel was proud, self-made. He said, I brought down the high tree. And I've exalted the low tree, Christ Jesus, who came low and served the Lord in righteousness for his people and unto the death of the cross. I've exalted him. He exalted me and I've exalted him, God said. And I've dried up the green tree and I've made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken it and have done it. That tender one that was taken, that's Christ. That's Christ. Scripture says he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and there's no beauty in him that when we should see him, we should desire him. And that's how Christ came forth. Just a man, not what men expected, a lowly man, born of a lowly parents and not like people expected. Zechariah 6:12, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. That when you read the branch, you're talking about this cedar. You're talking about this branch, Christ the Lord, the tree. He shall grow up out of his place. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both, between God and him, between God and his people, between Jew and Gentile. He made peace for his people. How did he do it? He makes us see we don't have anything. We're not different from others. We got everything in common with one another. We're sinners. That's it. He makes us see that first. And he makes us see this is what we have in common too. We got one righteousness. It's Christ. It's Christ. We don't have any righteousness we can boast in. We got one righteousness. Now, we can glory in him all we want to. But he's our only righteousness. And that's how he creates. He put away our sin. He brought in righteousness. And he made his people, as we read, all righteous. So, now who's going to take care of these cedars? You got these cedars up there on the mountain. They're the planting of the Lord. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to provide for them? No man. No man goes there. Who's going to provide for them? Who's going to water them? Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to take care of us? Who's going to water us? He planted us. Now who's going to provide for us? Look back there at verse 13, Psalm 104:13. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. And so the full provision for you and me, the full provision for all his people, wherever we are in this world, is our Lord. He is the provider. He's the provider. He's provided us all things in Christ. This is what we really need. We need righteousness and we need holiness. And this is what Christ has provided. And you that are planted of him, that have been born of him, this is what he's provided us. It's all of him. It's all by him. And it's in him. And this is what true sanctification teaches us, not to look at ourselves, but to find everything in our Lord Jesus. That's separate and separated out from every other religion in this world, is to find all your hope and all your confidence in Christ only, in him only. And he's the full provision. He's our righteousness, so he's our life. And what did the apostle say? You have the words of eternal life. That's what the water is. As we saw last time, this water is him watering us with the words of life. And it's coming just like this right here, through the preaching of the word. You sinners saved by the same grace, only because he chooses to, not because he has to, but because they're sinners saved by grace, made to know this about themselves, saved by grace. They're going to use the same gospel by which God called them in the beginning, and because they know that it's by that gospel they were born of the Spirit of God and kept by the Spirit of God, and that's the word whereby God continues to provide for them in their own heart. So that's the gospel they're going to preach. That's the gospel they're going to preach. And so we don't glory. We don't have anything to glory in. The glory belongs to the Lord. Paul said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He's the one that provided. Neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He's the husbandman. He's the provider. Our faith and every fruit that we have, we didn't produce it. You don't produce it. It's produced by the Lord. Every bit of it. Produced by the Lord. And so we give him all the glory. That's what he meant when he said, thy people also shall be all righteous, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm going to forget this if I don't say it now. There is in every believer a new man that never withers, not in the least, is evergreen like a cedar of Lebanon. What we see wither and wilt is our flesh, the outward. But the new man inwardly never withers and never, he's evergreen. He's evergreen. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river. He shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, why is this so? How is this so? It's because our Redeemer, who protects us, provides for us. He provides for all his cedars. He's working in all his cedars. Now, there are seasons. There's seasons when snows come and hard winters come and bitter winds come and storms come. When those cedars of Lebanon didn't look like they were thriving. If you ever seen a big cedar when the snow comes, those big branches get covered in snow and they hang way down, way down. And so it is when God sends any kind of trial to his people. You know, you may not appear outwardly to be evergreen, but this is all the Lord's working. Spurgeon said this of God's child. He's not a hothouse plant. He's not in a greenhouse, sheltered from temptation. He does not live in a world of holy and hallowed influence, preserving him from sin. He stands in the most exposed position on yonder bare rock where winds of mysterious satanic influence and dreadful earthquakes of his own doubts and fears daily try him. Where terrific thunderbolts from God's right hand, the thunderbolts of desertion and stern affliction, all come against him. He has no shelter, no protection except this. The broad wings of the eternal God always cover the cedars which he himself has planted. That's his protection. That's his protection. But those seasons are one of the ways that God's going to grow us to walk by faith rather than sight. It's one of the ways he's going to grow us to walk by faith rather than feeling. Trusting Christ rather than our own strength. And often our strength and our confidence is simply trusting in things we see. That's just fact. That's just fact. I have you turn 1 Peter 1. I want you to see this. 1 Peter 1. It's exactly what Peter's telling us. Was Peter any less a child of God when he denied he knew the Lord and left and went out? Not at all. Not at all. And in fact, he was not in any jeopardy. Now, he himself, if left to himself, would have been. But he wasn't in jeopardy because the Lord was working. And the Lord was teaching him. And this is what the Lord taught him right here. 1 Peter 1:6. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, manifold trials. God only sends the trial because there is a need be, a need be. He tries the faith he gives. He tries the faith he gives. With long winters of heavy snows and bitter winds, but the winter is needful for growth, just the same as the summer and the spring. But be sure to get why. Here's why. By taking away all other refuge, by taking away everything we can trust in but Christ, so that he's the only one we can trust in, by Christ delivering us through these light afflictions that are so hard to us, so heavy to us, by him delivering us through them, God gives us a foretaste of the end of our faith. And he says there, the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. Every one of these trials he's bringing you through, he's giving you a little foretaste that he's going to save your soul. I'm talking about trials where you couldn't bear up if he didn't do it. He didn't do it. It's one way he's going to keep us knowing we're kept by Christ's power, we're kept by his grace alone, so that he keeps us dependent on Christ alone, walking by faith and love rather than sight and mere emotion. Listen to this. Faith, he said, your faith will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now watch. Whom having not seen, you love him. This is what the trial's for, is to turn us from things we see to him that we don't see, to increase that love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. And every one of these little trials he's showing you, that's going to be the end of your faith. You're going to see him. And right now, by faith, he's teaching us, brethren, to not walk by sight. Here's another thing Spurgeon said. He said he's working to get us clean rid of that walking by sight, which is the disease of man, to bring us to walk by faith in the Spirit, which is the glory of a Christian. This is a work well worthy of God. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. When all that you thought that you could have some confidence in about yourself, he blows upon it and makes it all wilt. Because it was just grass. It wasn't the real you. It wasn't the product he produced. And he blows upon it. And everything you had your confidence in is gone. And all you got is Christ. And then you find out who your real Savior is. and who he has been all along. And he makes you to know, I did all this for you for this reason, to show you this. That's the purpose. And this is our assurance, brethren. Since Christ conquered our enemies, since he conquered all the enemies of his people on the cross, the Lord shall protect us, and he shall provide for us so that not anyone can cut us down. That is, separate us from Christ. Nobody can. The king of Babylon, you remember, he was causing all this distress to God's people. God raised him up to use him to chasten the Lord's people, to bring them to the end of themselves and the end of all their confidence and all. He used this king of Babylon, this hard, tyrant king, for that purpose. But the king of Babylon thought, I'm going to go further than what God intended. Just in his own heart, he's thinking, look at all these cities I've taken. I'm going to go on in there and just do what I want to with Israel. And God brought him down. God destroyed him. And when he did that, they rested and they sang. You just imagine if a king was being used to chasten us here, and he come in our country and was wreaking havoc. That's what the king of Babylon was doing, taking some of them away. But when the Lord brought him down, it says they sing and rejoice. And here's what they said. Isaiah 14, 7 and 8. It says, yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. It means the devil nor anybody else can cut us down, can make us fall by any means whatsoever. That means separate his people from Christ. No feller that would fall us and drop us and make us fall can come up against his people. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Name anybody. Paul just makes it open-ended. He says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What if God brought you, we faced the coronavirus and you'd have thought the world ended. What if he brought us into a famine? Might be coming. They say it's crashing tomorrow. Might be. And if he brings us into a famine to where we're standing in soup lines, and we don't have our fancy clothes. And the majority of this world, about 3 or 4 countries own everything. And the majority of the rest of this world is living on dirt floors. And we want to go around talking about how benevolent we are. God can just create a famine and bring down the mighty high, mighty cedar that thinks he's a self-made man and bring us down to see we utterly depend on God to provide. But neither persecution nor famine nor nakedness nor peril or sword. For thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. But if God brings any of that to pass for his people, this is the truth. No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He's put away our enemy. He's destroyed the devil for his people by putting away all our sin and making us the righteousness of God in him, so that the devil don't have a thing to accuse you of anymore. He can't. He can go to God all he wants to. And the Lord just intercedes and says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. There's a fire plucked out, the brand plucked out of the burning. I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? I'm persuaded. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature should be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is why he's going to put you in a place sometime where we see the only salvation we have is Christ. But if you have him, That's why the world was created. That's why he gave you faith. That's why he came and worked out a righteousness for his people. That's why he's bringing to pass everything he's bringing to pass in this world, is to teach us this. Stop judging and reasoning from man up to God. Go to God and reason down from God to man. Nothing he's working is by accident. If I reasoned from man up to God, I'd have quit a long time ago. In the redwood forest, they have this redwood cut in half. It's big. If you've been, anybody ever been there? Anybody seen that? You been there? You've seen this big redwood they got cut in half. And they got the rings, you know, and they got the little plaque. So from the inside out, they got these rings showing the growth of this redwood. And in the middle, it says Magna Carta 1215. And then a little further out, it says Columbus 1492. This is the growth of this tree. A little further out, Pilgrim 1620. It grew a little longer. Independence 1776. Grows out a little bit. California added to the Union 1850. And that wasn't the biggest tree and the oldest tree there. That was just one of them. Just like our Lord grew that tree and protected it all those years, He's doing the same thing for His people who are the cedars of Lebanon. Same thing. Same thing. Every stormy wind that blows, He's teaching us to depend on Christ alone. He says, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for where is he to be accounted of? And you know who that applies to first and foremost? Each one of us personally. Stop trusting self. Stop looking at self. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Talkers are going to talk. Talkers are going to talk. Ought not to. Ought not to. Talkers are going to talk. But cease needing man's approval and cease being cast down by man's disapproval. Trust Christ. Trust Christ. Of ourselves, our flesh, our foundation is in the dust. Of ourselves, our foundation's in the dust. But as weak and feeble as we are, Christ is all our strength. He's all our power. He's all our wisdom. He's all our righteousness. He's all our provision. He's our all. Everything. Trust the Lord Jesus alone and walk by faith. This is the vineyard which His right hand has planted, the branch that He's made strong for Himself. It's in His strength. If we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, even if He permits it, there's going to come a time He's going to permit it when these bodies are going to be cut down. But even when that appointed hour comes, if we be planted with the Lord in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. I know men have said this, and I know what they mean. I understand it. You're immortal till your work here on this earth is finished. And that's true. But truly, you're just immortal. That's the truth. So our fullness, here's the third thing. Our fullness is of the Lord, and I'll be brief here. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Full of sap. Those cold winters, the cedars of Lebanon, don't appear full of sap, but they are. They are. Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. The Spirit abides with you, shall be in you, our Lord said. He's going to prune us, but He'll never cut us down. You know, He said when the till tree casts all its leaves, it looks like it's dead. And He was talking about Israel. When the till tree casts all its leaves and it looked like it was completely dead, it was cut down to the root. He said, just like a till tree and as an oak tree whose substance is in them when they cast off all their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Christ is that holy seed. He's that life within all His people. When they look like a dead oak tree with all their leaves cast off and they don't look like there's any life in them, Christ is the substance in His people. In His people. We're to receive one another without doubting and disputing. That means just wait a little while. Just wait a little while. See what God works. And while you wait, pray for your brother. And while you pray for him, be thankful. I think instead of going around talking about this and that thing about one another, I think we ought to, if the Lord's put His chastening hand on somebody, I think we ought to say, talk about how gracious the Lord's been. And be thankful for what He's doing. Because without it, we'd perish. It's always for our good. He's going to make you to be rooted and built up in Him. Just like a tree's rooted, established in the faith, opposed to sight and sense. Just like you've been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. The sap is the fullness of Christ. It's His Spirit. It's His unchanging love. Remember this from Ephesians 3. He said, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There's the holy seed. There's the substance. There's the sap. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height, to know the love of Christ, His love for His people, for you, that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He said, they're going to be full of sap. What is this fullness? It's everything Christ is. The fullness of God filling you with Him. And He fills us with more sap. He gives more grace. I can give you another scripture that talks about Him filling us with sap. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. And experience, hope. This is all through what? Through tribulation. And hope makes not ashamed. Why? Because you're full of sap. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. What's going to be the result of that? Psalm 92:12 says, the righteous shall flourish like the date palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in Him. That's what He's showing. That's what He's showing. The church doesn't look the same today as it did 25, 30 years ago. Some of the most staunch advocates for the glory of God, who knows? And some of the ones you never expected would be there are planted, still flourishing, to show the work of the Lord. Just wait a while. You'll see. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily. He'll cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be as the olive tree. And his smell as Lebanon. But you remember this too now. Remember this. When the fruit tree bears fruit, that's when the fruit tree is the most vulnerable. That's when you're going to have all kind of varmints coming around, when the fruit tree is bearing fruit. And when we start bearing fruit, it can be dangerous for us because we start looking at the fruit. But even to your old age, I am He. Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I've made you. I'll bear you. I'll carry you. I'll deliver you. The true fruit is growing more and more dependent on Christ. That song we just sang, Nearer to the Cross, if God gives us the blessing of having that, it's not going to come like we think. It's going to be good, but it probably won't come like we think it's going to come. But He gives more grace. He keeps filling you with sap. What is it? The oil of joy in a place of mourning. That's what it is. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified thereby. And you know what God's people are going to do now and forever? In Psalm 148:7, he writes, praise the Lord. And he talks about different parts of His creation. But if you look down at verse 9, he says, praise the Lord, ye fruitful trees and all cedars. And that's what we're going to do. As the cedars of Lebanon, you're going to praise the Lord now and forever. He's the only one to praise. He's the only one to praise. Father, thank You for this word. We pray You bless it. Lord, bring forth this good news in our heart. Fill us with the sap. Make us planted by Your grace and make us see that You truly indeed are the one who works it and the one who keeps us and who provides all. And the whole point of it all is to show us we never grow independent of you. We're always growing more and more and more dependent on you. We see it in our life, Lord, as it perishes and as we get weaker and as we get down to our last breath, there ain't going to be but one we're dependent on. It's you. Teach us that now, Lord. Forgive us our sins. Thank you for your grace. In Christ's name, amen.